This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Okay, so by the way of getting ready for Becky's onslaught, now let's introduce Becky Cole to the Women on Waves audience.
Okay, I have yet another closet virgin here at Women on Waves. I have finally been sitting opposite the national treasure, really, Becky Cole. Welcome to Women on Waves, Becky.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I actually met you at the Hallam Hotel last year when you were doing it, and I noticed you're doing it again this year.
Yes, end of May, we'll be back at the Hallam, yeah.
Yes, so it was a great night. I finally got to meet you. Now, my introduction to you is an unusual one, actually, because my partner used to be a huge country music fan, and going back to about 97 or 98, she started talking about this Australian woman, Becky Cole, and we started listening to your albums, and I kept saying to her, gee, I wish she was gay, I wish she was gay. And unfortunately, my partner didn't live to see you coming out on Australian
Story. I'm so sorry that didn't happen. But, you know, I reckon somewhere in there, you know, the gaydar goes off and you just kind of know. I mean, there's always been a certain amount of the sisterhood in the audience. And I think that they saw something in me that they recognise. And I know, it just happens. So I think she knew.
Anyway, let's talk about your music because we have been entertained by... This must be about your 10th album.
It's number 10, yes.
Number 10. And it's a fabulous album.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell everybody to get out to the shops before they sell out because this is every single track on this particular album is wonderful.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you, when I look across at you and see how youthful you are, I just think to myself, now how do you spell out a whole memoir? But I realised, of course, that you've been in the music scene for over 20 years anyway.
I have, yeah. I've been touring around the place for a long time. And to be honest, the first couple of times I was approached about writing my autobiography, I actually laughed. I thought, no, isn't that for really old people and bigger celebrities than me? But look, it's been an amazing experience getting to write about my life. And I think everyone's got a memoir in them no matter what age, you know, and some are just more interesting and intricate, I suppose, than others. And I haven't held back on the detail, you know, it's all there.
Did one spin off the other, in other words?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. I wrote the book and I was so ready to write songs as soon as I had finished that book. And in fact, the album was churned out within, the songs for the album were churned out within 2 weeks. And because I was just so sort of buzzing with inspiration, I suppose, after I finished the book. And each of those songs can really be taken from chapters of the book, I think.
Right. I'm interested in your mother because my partner should have known your mother if she was around singing. So she probably did, but she never really...
Possibly, yeah. And often people get the names because my mum sung, she was a singer under the name of Carol Sturtzall out of Adelaide. And she sang on a lot of television shows that were filmed in Adelaide at the time.
Right.
And but she settled down sort of and started doing mainly live shows around Adelaide in sort of the late 70s. 90s and didn't do as much television then. And so a lot of people sort of remember her from way back when. But yeah. I was born in 72, my brother in 1970. So she sort of settled down into being a motherhood, as many of her generation did. And then was still a singer. I mean, of course, I grew up watching her sing and then eventually being a part of her band. But no, I'm very lucky to have come from that, and not only come from a singer, but a very strong, funny and capable woman, as is, I should say, my grandmother, who's 96 and still going.
And on this new CD, which is called Sweet Rebecca, there's a track on there, Tea for Three or something, yes, which is kind of a little dedication and storytelling about the female influences in your life.
Without a doubt. It's about sitting around my grandma's kitchen table and having a pot of tea between the three of us. And as I say towards the end of the song, you know, the only thing sweeter than this homemade apricot jam is knowing I'm loved by them just the way that I am. And they do. They love me exactly how I am. And I'm very blessed to have such, you know, beautiful, accepting and strong women in my life.
Right.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're tuned into Australia's first and only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, I was just talking outside to the other lady that came along
to Sophie. Sophie is actually the editor of my book and my publisher as well.
Right. I was just talking outside to her about the idea that country music in particular had a reputation as being homophobic. And a couple of years before you came out, there was a singer in the US called Cherry Wright who also came out, and her career just fell to pieces because they are very homophobic over there. But I don't think we are in Australia.
No, we're not. And you're absolutely right about that. You know, I'm extremely lucky. I mean, I feel as though I've been embraced by the country music fans in Australia and beyond. In fact, I have more fans now that I'm out than I did before, I think, because I've been embraced by, you know, our lovely rainbow community
as well.
But the country music fans in Australia, especially in regional areas, they just want honesty. They just want you to be yourself. They want you to be fair dinkum. And even if they don't understand what you're being honest about, they prefer you to be honest, you know, and I think that for me has been a lesson in how beautiful and accepting Aussies can be.
I saw it actually at the Hallam Hotel.
Yeah.
There were families there, you know, with country bumpkins and farmers and everybody, and they were getting right into it.
Absolutely. They love my music, and, you know, I'm actually a singer first. People forget that, you know, I find it really naive when I'm introduced or I see in the paper lesbian singer Becky Cole, because I'm a singer first, and why label me with that, you know? And I've always entertained people, and no matter who I hold hands with afterwards, you know. So for me, it's I find it amusing that they need to put those labels on. But I think the Australian audiences see through that, and they'll come along, and they're still as fanatical. And like you say, there's families that bring their kids. There's farmers that shine their boots and come off the land, and they come in to see my shows, and they don't care. They're fine with it, you know. Yeah. They don't care if I waltz with Matilda, you know. They're fine.
I like that.
Yeah, you can have it.
You're so giving too. I mean, last time you were in at Joy, I didn't get the opportunity to have a chat with you for my audience, but you've left this amazing sting about gorgeous Anita, who I haven't even met yet.
Yes,
now,
that's
you, before you go today, you've got to make a new one.
I've got to do a new one, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was directed in that one, and I was very, very happy to do it, but I was very, very amused by it as well.
And so, and everybody, because I have on the show the closet segment, which comes up with my guests, whoever they may be, and everybody that comes on and they hear that sting, they say, God, that woman is amazing.
Well, you know, I love my life, you know, and I love that that I get to go around and sing music for a living. I always have. And if you'd have told me that I'd be up to album number 10 and at the same time releasing my autobiography, in which I've been extremely honest. Some of the media have presented it, I suppose, as brutally honest, but my publisher said to me that I was eloquently honest. I prefer it like that.
Yes, yes. Sounds like a good publisher you ought to hang on to.
She's all right.
For when you write some more books.
Where are you? Hi, this is the Top Twins, and you're listening to Women on Waves with Anita Joy 94.9. Yeehaw! Woohoo!
The other thing about this particular CD is that they are songs all written by yourself. No co-write.
Co-writes with my lovely partner, Libby. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Who's not talking, but she's here.
She's here in the room. It's why I've got the big smile on my face. But yeah, Libby's an incredible songwriter, and she's brought a whole new sort of style to my music, I suppose, because right. she's from the jazz world and plays, you know, some pretty incredible piano, plays with me in my show as well. And so the two songs on there are Off My Chest, which is a bluesy kind of song that has some really awesome chords, all written by Libby. And the other one is called, I've gone blank for a minute, Songs Remember Me.
Yeah.
And Songs Remember Me is about dementia or Alzheimer's sufferers and how they quite often remember songs, but not necessarily their own name or family or what they did.
Yeah.
But songs somehow get in there, you know, and that particular story came to me via Libby because she does go and sing to a lot of high care dementia patients.
All right. My mother just died last year, but for the last 5 years she was suffering from Alzheimer's too. Oh. So I can relate very strongly. Yes. But I can relate very strongly to just about every song on here.
I'm glad. And I hope that most women can. You know, it's one of those things, you know, gay or not. I think it's I think I've written about a very real person with a very real heart. You know, I've written a lot of the songs are obviously about me or the people around me, and about my journey and my finally finding love and all that after 40 years.
And do you find, like, after the show, you're there and you're signing CDs and talking to your audience, etc. Do you find people come up to you and share stories with you?
Absolutely.
Because you've been so open with
them? Yes, and that's been happening for years, but certainly I heard a lot of people's own very private coming out stories. They wrote to me after I came out on Australian Story because they had never had anybody to talk to about it before.
Right.
And especially there's some, you know, in regional Australia, there are a lot of, especially older women who never got to explore that part of their heart, which must be stifling. I know it was for me in my time that I spent in the closet, you know, and not being able to tell anybody. But there's a generation of women, especially in isolated areas of Australia, that never got to explore love, which is so sad.
It is. So we won't dwell
on that.
There. We'll keep the fond memories of times in your life and things that you've done.
Hi, this is Christy Apps. It's great to be here
with
Anita, Women on Waves on Joy 94.9.
You called the autobiography Poster Girl, and I'm interested in the history of that particular song because when it was released and people heard it, you did get a bit of a strange reaction to it. Like people were assuming that you were supporting the war.
Yeah, well, that the reaction came sort of before that. The song was kind of a result of the reaction, I think.
All right.
You know, when I came home from the first time I went to sing, you know, in the Middle East to our troops there, I was given, I suppose, a little bit of reaction, mainly through a letter from a fella who said, you know, you just supported the war. Well, I didn't support the war. I supported the troops. So I wrote the song in retaliation, I suppose, to that. And it wasn't just him. It was also a publicist that was working with me at the time that refused to write anything about me going over to entertain the troops because she thought that it was pro-war. And I'm not pro-war, and I'm not, you know, in any way, you know,
right.
I'm a peace-loving woman, you know, but it doesn't mean that I can't go over and entertain them and provide them a piece of home. And it doesn't mean that I can't feel for their families and you know, I have great affection for our military. We need our military, and God help those that don't think that we need them if we ever do, you know. So for me, it was just a really important issue. And of course, the bookend to Poster Girl is now Broken Soldiers, which is a really important light that I have shone on the sufferers of post-traumatic stress disorder after having served. It can be very, very difficult for them.
Yeah. Yep. We hear stories all the time on television about the difficult transitioning back to the, to their home life.
And it can whatever. Be extremely difficult for them, and a lot of them can't cope. And I think that as a nation, we need to look at how we can help them and how we can prop them up. And there are wonderful organisations. I'm working now closely with Soldier On, who, you know, provide a lot of help for our wounded warriors, as they call them, and with wounds that are seen and unseen. And, you know, the unseen wounds are the ones I'm talking about here, with post-traumatic stress disorder, which can be debilitating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been told that we've got to cut this short because you've only got limited time, but I could talk to you for hours. But before I let you go, I need to just talk about the fact that you're coming back to Melbourne late May, I think.
Late
it is.
May, indeed. Yeah, 28th, I'll be back at the Hallam.
Yeah, and then you've got the
Corio Gateway Hotel on the 29th.
Then you've got on the 30th.
York on Lilydale, and then the 31st, I'll be at Hepburn Springs.
At the old Hep.
And I'm really looking forward to that. It's one of my favourite little pubs to go and have a beer in, but I've never sung a song there. So
right.
I'm looking forward to catching up with my old mate, Cindy Boast, who I've written songs without
that
way.
She's amazing too.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She?
Yeah. And of course, going out there. So the seats are quite limited out at the old Hep, as you know. Yes. If you want to have a seat, I think there's only about 80 of them there. So we're looking for, and that's going to be, the band will be with me for the first three shows, so Hallam and Cryo and York and Lilydale, and then the Hep will be just myself and Libby, so it'll be great. Okay. Little acoustic show.
Terrific. I'll certainly get along to as many as I can.
Fabulous.
But thank you so much for making your time available, and I hope we sell the Poster Girl and the Sweet Rebecca everywhere you go.
Thank you very much. Well, we'll keep doing it. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Chaka Khan, and you're listening to Joy, Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station.
I don't want to get up. It's so nice in bed with you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.